Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
He is out to destroy everyone. He is angry. He knows he has lost the war. And he is determined to take down everyone he can. Thank God he cannot countermand what Jesus has set in motion. God is going to reach a people. He knows who they are. He knows how to reach them. We need to be in harmony with him and let him do the work, because he is the only one who is able to do this. But he will never fail. All that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, will come to me. And what about them? And none of them are going to be cast away. You see the perfect union with the Father and the Son there? Everybody he gives is going to come, and nobody will be turned away. Thank God. So you've got a wisdom here that causes people to live trying desperately to satisfy itches that are in here. And it doesn't work. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Now, he's talking to Christians. Folks, these things affect us. If there's anyone here who has any lack of peace in your heart, where does that come from? Comes from our old nature, wanting something that's self-driven. It comes from this so-called wisdom that comes from the world. This is how it should be. Go get it. Comes from the heart of the devil himself. But it affects us. It affects us. We live our lives singing about peace, but we don't have the peace that God wants us to have. I realize it's something, not something you can snap your finger and say, oh, now I've got it. This has got to come as a learning experience. Yeah, I think somebody quoted Dave this morning. I thought it was a wonderful way to put it about how, you know, we can live about with the stuff we know as though this is all what we've learned in the past, but it's not what we've learned, it's what we're learning. It's not about past stuff. It's about present action. We are meant to be learners. We are meant to be people who learn the wisdom that is from above, which he's going to talk about in a second. There is a wisdom that comes from God that is meant not just to tell us about what glorious things are going to happen one day, but how we can cope with a world that hates God. Yes. Where it's a world of people who don't know what peace is about. They make a treaty and, oh, we've got peace. Oh, yeah. And you break it down to the individual level, and you got broken lives and messes and people who are snared by every form of sin imaginable. Okay? So where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder, every evil practice. That's the root of every evil thing in the world. It's simply my desires. You know, somebody else who talked about being in a situation where there was a conflict with somebody or feelings about somebody. This is something we've said many times, and every one of us fall into it over and over again. The problem is them. If they wouldn't do that or say that or act that way, I'd be fine. Why do you think God caused them to act that way or allowed them to act that way? It's not about how they're acting, it's about how you're reacting. And you're reacting because you're following the dictates of your old nature instead of Christ. And we say it over and over again, and we do it over and over again. But you know the Lord's teaching us, isn't he? He loves us enough to keep reminding us and showing us where it's at, because he is the Prince of Peace. That's what he longs to give us. Thank God. All right, so you got the devil's wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all peace-loving, pure, and then peace-loving. Okay, it's first of all pure. But it's then peace-loving, considerate. What does considerate mean? Who are you thinking about when you're considerate? Me? No, we're thinking about somebody else. That's what he's after. Considerate, submissive. Oh, we love that one. That's human nature, right? Oh, I just love to be submissive. Oh, we want to be in charge. We want what we want, and that's right, and everybody needs to get out of our way and let us have it. That's the source of all that's wrong with humanity. That's why there's no peace to the wicked. God doesn't want us acting like them, but we do more than we should. Okay, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Boy, those are amazing qualities, aren't they? And the thing is, not one of us was born with those qualities. If we're going to have them, we're going to have to get them from somebody. And this, and when he talks about wisdom, we'll see this as we go, and of course we've talked about it many times. He's not talking about us having better information so we can act different. It takes more than just knowing what's right to do. I mean, you can read this and say, oh, good, now that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, good luck, because you don't have a nature that will support that. And that's going to constantly get in the way. That's what Paul discovered in Romans 7 when he tried to serve God by obeying the law. And he discovered his batting average was zero. Even when he did it outwardly, it wasn't here like it was supposed to be. My God, we need a miracle, don't we? All right? So what happens when you've got that kind of wisdom in operation? It says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest, or raise a harvest of righteousness. My God, you see what God is trying to do? He's trying to plant his life down here and raise a harvest. This is the context in which we have to serve God. We're going to need supernatural help. We're going to need God. We're going to need something we can't get from this world. We can't get it from ourselves. It only comes from Christ. That's the hope of the gospel. Thank God. What now? Now he goes on. Really, there's a chapter break here, but it wasn't there in the original. This goes right straight into chapter 4, verse 1. So he goes back to the question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Why? Why don't you have perfect unity with everybody around you? I mean, you know, we understand that's not a good thing. But it happens constantly. You put two people in a room, sooner or later you're going to have a fight. Why? Don't they come from your desires? No, they come from him. They come from the other guy. He's not doing right. He's not measuring up to my standard. He's not like I think he should be. Or she? No. They come from your desires. That battle within you, that's the problem. It's a heart issue, isn't it? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You do not have because you do not ask God. See, this is where it gets into our relationship with him. So you got people, first of all, we don't have things because we don't ask him. But now we got another problem. Because we're still here in this carnal state where we're following too much the old nature. When you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So you see what the problem is throughout this. It's human nature in control. We're meant to be yielded to him, to learn how to live by a different life. This is why religion can't help you. This is why perfect theology can't help you. Perfect creeds can't help you. We have got to have a new heart and a new life, and only Jesus can give us that. But I'll tell you, even when he does, that does not automatically guarantee that in every instance we are going to follow that life. We're going to live out that life. This is what the problem is here. We're still in the middle. And James is dealing with Christian believers. And yet he says it's fights. You get in a fight, you're having a problem. Why? It's because you're following your desires. Wake up. This is what it's about. You adulterous people. An adulterer is somebody who's married, but they're messing around with somebody else. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? You got two opposing kingdoms. The kingdoms of this world are God's enemies. If we live according to the dictates and the ideas of the world, we're absolutely fighting against God. We're fighting against ourselves, really. But God wants to set his people free. Praise God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? Now, let's just take a step back and say, who does he give the grace to? Or for you grammarians, to whom does he give the grace? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, sometimes the proud are the ones that think they can do it. They're bopping along in a situation. I can handle this. I'll wait till I get to the big stuff, and then God, I need you. We need him all the time about everything. The wonderful thing is he is available all the time about everything. He's interested all the time in everything, and he's willing. But we're too proud. But if we could think differently and ask him for the grace to think differently. I mean, you got to start where you're at, don't you? If I'm proud, I need grace to stop being proud. I need to recognize I need you, Lord, in this area. Wherever I'm at, Lord, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the desire to do the right thing in this particular area. Yeah, I heard some amens. But I think everybody here could have said it. Yeah, there you go. So what do we do? Oh, God, I need you, Lord. You've promised, and I'm coming to you. I'm believing your promise in the face of all that says it can't ever be. Lord, I need peace in my heart. I need something that only you can give. You know, I say there's so many scriptures you could use. Lord, we preached three different Sundays on straight Sundays on peace one time, didn't we? From Isaiah 26, peace, peace. But one scripture that I think is critical to this, let me go ahead and turn to it. And I think it's in John 14, right at the end. And remember, this is where Jesus was. It was the night before his crucifixion. He was talking to his disciples, gave them a lot of information. Okay, it was not at the end. It was verse 27, talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be taught. But in 27, he says, peace. It's what we're talking about today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Isn't that interesting? It's not like I'm going to give you a box of something and it's called peace. This is my peace. Where did Jesus get his peace? From the Father. Okay, is it just sort of a warm, gooey feeling? What does that mean in practice? Think about what does that actually mean for him to have a state of peace given everything that happened to him? He trusted? That's a key. That's what Isaiah said, because he trusteth in thee. You have peace, peace. There was an absolute unity of his heart and his will. Now, we know he had battles. He cried with strong crying and tears, didn't he? And the Lord saved him out of that. But the salvation is not what we think about, because he wasn't rescued from the cross. He had to go through that. But what he did have was a heart that was yielded and willing and able by God's power to go through something that was impossible for a human being to do. That's what salvation is about. Doesn't John 14, 27 give us a clue about what salvation is all about? In effect, Jesus is saying, I'm giving me to you. I get it. You don't have what it takes to have what God wants you to have in this world. But I have come to a place where now God has invested in me a life, and I have the power to share that life with you. And that peace that has carried me through my earthly life, it's mine, I have it, and I'm sharing it with you. That means he's sharing it with you and you and you and you and me today. This is not just something little happened, you know, in the night before he was crucified. This is all through. It's called time and time again the gospel of peace, the good news. Thank God the foundation is that we can have peace with God and have our sins dealt with and washed away as if they had never happened. But there's a practical side that God wants us to be able to walk through our lives and actually have a peace. That we're not constantly knocked out of off kilter by all the stuff that happens as though, why did it happen to me? Well, get your mind off of yourself and just put yourself in God's hands and say, thank you, Lord, and your grace is enough. I'll tell you, we've got a God who can give peace in your situation and mine today if we will let him. That's the problem. Do we want to cling to our way so much and our rightness in the situation so much that we're just not willing to let go? Boy, that came up today several times. But how much we need to come to the place where we can let stuff go. Here's a wonderful scripture. It might be a good one to finish with that we certainly all know very well. And that's in Philippians chapter 3. All right, I've been all around it here. There we go. I'm sorry, it's Philippians chapter 4. Now, it's interesting that right before he says, gets to the scripture that we always think of, in verse 2, Paul's writing to believers in the city of Philippi. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. So, is this a problem? Is this a kind of thing that you deal with when human beings are together, even in the Lord? Is there not conflicts? Is that what God wants? Is there an answer? Is there a solution to this problem? But he pleads with them. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to whom he's writing, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all the Lord's, the Lord is near. Now, the scripture that we're all so familiar with. Because if you have got, your human nature is too much in charge, is that not the source of fear and anxiety, among other things? Yeah, there's always something that's got you going and got you worried, and you're worried about this, you're worried about something else. There's a burden. I can't fix this. What's going on? There's all this unrest. Oh my God, God doesn't want us to have to live that way, and He knows. And like Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, He cares for you. But here, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, so how do I do that? Good luck. Stop being anxious, everybody. That doesn't work, does it? Better have a way to do that. But in everything, that comes to all the little stuff, all the little things that we run into in our lives, it gets right down to the nitty-gritty of where you and I live in everything, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. How many of you pray and petition with complaining? See, there's no trust in that, is there? It's like, God, you got it in for me, and I don't like it. And I'm going to pout. No, we come to Him, Lord, you've allowed a need in my life. I feel it. I'm in a difficult place. But I know you love me. I know that in all things you're working together for my good, and you have a purpose in all of this. So in my request, I'm thanking you, Lord. I'm thanking you for the circumstance, but I'm thanking you because you have the answer and the grace. Okay? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's a pretty good prescription, isn't it? Present your requests to God. And how many of you think when we do it, we just over and over and over and over? Now, I know there's a persevering in prayer. I understand that part. But how many of you think that when we come to the Lord, we give him our burdens, then we take them back and go to sleep with him, or try to go to sleep with him? How many of you have done that? Well, that doesn't work too good, does it? See, there does have to come a place in our prayer where we say, all right, Lord, I have handed this off to you. It's in your hands. And I'm just leaving it in your hands. Take your burden, the old hymn, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Some of you remember that. All right, don't be anxious. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and what? The peace of God. The peace of God. You think God's worried? You think God is in conflict? Oh my God, I got so many people to imagine. And look, there's Carl, look what he did again. I got to worry about him. And Dorsey, I don't know. And Ron. Oh, I'm just so overwhelmed. No, God's got a perfect rest. He's perfectly in control. There's nothing the devil can do to undermine his plan. He wants us to share how he feels about everything. The reality of how it, not just how he feels, the reality of it. He wants us to rest in that. The peace of God, which transcends, it goes beyond all understanding. You can't explain this to somebody. Why do you have such peace? Because God's got this. And I'm trusting in him. I mean, even the words, that still doesn't convey the reality of something that goes beyond simply explaining it to the mind. It's something that possesses the heart. That's what he's after. That's what he says. It transcends all understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right? And he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, gets into what we think about, what we allow our minds to dwell on. That's where a lot of our trouble comes from. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And what? The God of peace will be with you. Thank God. If I'm living and I don't have peace, it's not his fault. It's because I am dwelling in a low realm. I'm operating by human wisdom, by human nature. If I'm going to get out of that, I'm going to have to start lifting my eyes and looking to him and believing his promises and giving my burdens to him. And his promise is that we can have peace. Amen. This is peace that's on earth. Yes. We'll have peace there if you know him. But he wants you to have it now. And I'll tell you, you get into just life in general, but this season, supposed to be peace on earth, a lot more stress usually. But God can give us peace even in Christmas. God can give us peace if we just open our hearts to him. He is the Prince of Peace. And behind him is the God of Peace. That's what it's about. And he is faithful. Praise God.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.